I think that phrase that you have up on the screen is familiar probably to all of you. If you've read the Bible very much or been around Christians very much, for God so loved the world. And probably all of you could give me the reference for that verse even. John 3:16. The more you think about what God did in that verse, he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son to be a sacrifice so we can always be his children, live with him forever. That is the most amazing story in all of history, and it always will be. But what's also amazing are the things that God has been doing before that and since then to help people understand his love. So today I'm going to take some time to give you a quick overview. We're going to take a trip all the way around the world. Real quick glimpses of things that God has been doing to bring people to himself from a big perspective. And then we're going to zero down to a minute perspective, another example of what God did to bring one person to himself. He's amazing at every level. You could tell amazing stories of what he's done in your life to bring you to himself. And he's doing that in every person's life. But you put it all together, and there's amazing things that God's doing in the world. And then we'll wrap that up with going over to the Philippines and looking at some of the special things God's been doing there to bring people to himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be your children. And that's amazing enough in itself. But to also have the privilege of being involved with you in your work of communicating your love to people in so many different ways, that is amazing. We're still learning what all is involved and how that happens, but the more we are, it's really amazing. So help us have sense your heart, help us have your perspective. We want to be in tune with you, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, you're living in us. Help us grow to understand you, appreciate you, and be in tune with you here this morning. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Today, looking at this world map, there are 7.3 billion individuals living on this globe right now that we're living on ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:4 is a passage, along with others in the Bible, that tells us, well, in Timothy 2:4 it says, God our Savior wants all men, all people, to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. That's his desire. He doesn't want anyone to perish, as Peter says later on. But he's not going to force them. We all know that's our choice that we make. But that's his desire. Then in Acts 17:26, 27, you've heard me read this verse before, and I'll read it again. It's just so amazing when I read about it, and we're going to see more stories of how God works this out. Acts 17:26, from one man, he, or God, made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he, God, determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. We thought we decided to live in Kansas City, Olathe, wherever. Here it says, ultimately, that was God that made that decision for you through all kind of factors. Why did God do that? Verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Well, the way God did this for me is he had me born in Ethiopia, 1955. And here you see a picture of me in 1960 as a five-year-old boy. My next brother is there with us. The other two brothers weren't born yet. Eating an awesome food that we just ate again at Christmas. There's no other country like it. Enduring what? What an awesome background. But anyway, in southern Ethiopia, as I move to the next slide, you see a little red dot there in Ethiopia. God has been doing amazing things since World War II. There's just a few hundred Christians after World War II, and today there are 16 million Christians in Ethiopia. Well, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to zip around the world looking at statistics real quick. You need to pay attention, but there'll be a slide up there for each one because we're going to drop down to Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, in the last 50 years, evangelical Christians have grown from 5% of the population to 33% of the population. That is typical for most African countries south of the Sahara. Just revival all around. U.S. has, you know, been sputtering along for church growth, but around the world, there's amazing things happening. Over in Western Africa, Nigeria, in the last 100 years, the church has grown from almost zero to 20 million Christians today in Nigeria. Let's jump across the Atlantic Ocean. I told you to go quick. To Brazil. In the last 50 years, evangelical Christians have grown from 2 million to 51 million. That's in my lifetime. Some of your lifetimes too. That's amazing. Moving up to Central America, it's been amazing to see what God has been doing in the country of Honduras, because some of us know pastors and leaders right there in Honduras. In the last 50 years, evangelical Christians have grown from 1.7% to 23% of the population, which is close to 2 million people because it's a smaller country. Now we're going to jump across the Pacific. In Japan, there's no big revival, but God is at work in amazing ways. One awesome story is that in World War II, the lead pilot, Mitsuyo Fukida, in attacking Pearl Harbor, God worked things out that through American prisoners of war, he became a Christian, and he became what some people call the Billy Graham of Japan. Can you imagine that? The lead pilot bombing the U.S., God said, okay, I'll work in your heart. Brought him to himself, and he brought many other Japanese to himself. You don't hear about these kind of things in the news. You just hear, he got bombed, let's fight him. Right? God's at work, bringing people to himself all the time. And in Korea, just nearby Japan, in the last 100 years, the church has grown from almost zero evangelical Christians to 8 million today. And even though it's a small country, it is the second largest missionary sending nation in the world, next to the U.S. That's in total number of missionaries sent. Per capita, it's number one. Amazing, amazing. China. In the last 40 years, the evangelical church has grown from 2.7 million, this is in our lifetime, in my life, 2.7 million, to more than 80 million, mostly in underground churches. But there's still pockets in China where people have never heard the word Jesus, never seen a Bible. But some parts, explosion, like wildfire. Excuse me. Philippines, it's the only Catholic country in all of Asia. But the last 50 years, the evangelical Christian church has grown from 5% of the population to 13%, which is about 13 million. And I'll get back to the Philippines later on here in the message. Jump over to Northeast India. In the last 100 years, the evangelical church has grown in three of the Indian states. India still has a lot of struggle with Hinduism and everything. It's fairly closed in a lot of places. But in those three corner states up in the northeast of India, 75% of the population is evangelical Christian. They now send a few thousand missionaries to other parts of India. Some of you might not have ever heard of that before. Iran. There, in 1979, there were 500 Muslim background believers. That's the MBB. Today, some leaders estimate there could be 1 million Muslim background believers in underground churches. Iraq and Syria, probably the most war-torn countries, along with Afghanistan, just awful, awful suffering happened there, more than we can imagine, the horrible suffering that's going on there. But we've heard through Voice of the Martyrs and other missionaries too, that there are more Muslims coming to Christ now than ever before in our known history, since Islam has taken over those countries. It's another example of God in his sovereign love. He uses the most awful things to bring people to himself. It's like on the cross. That was the most awful thing in world history, what Jesus happened in history. But it's our salvation. Amazing God. And because of what's happening in Iraq and Syria, we go up to Europe, further up there, and in Germany, we see God using that suffering to bring people into Europe. And now many of the European Christians, even though there's not many there, the few that are there are reaching these Muslim believers in many ways. There are now 3 million refugees that have come up in the last 10 years into Europe. And a Christian missionary recently told a friend of mine over there that the churches of refugees are the fastest growing churches in the country of Germany. God's at work. Well, that concludes our tour. I told you it'd be a quick world tour right around the world. And now, that's a huge, big perspective. But isn't that exciting? God's been at work. He's at work right now. Just amazing how he's building his church. Now we're going to just zero right down like a microscope on one individual. This individual is also a person that grew up in Africa, same country where I was born, quite far away, 2 weeks walking from where I was born in Sodu. But many of you have been around, like even at Faith Walkers, I was there for a question and answer time. And when people start realizing, wow, the only way a person to become a child of God is to accept Jesus because he's the only one that has paid for our sin. What about these guys, and he listed off North Korea that's keeping Christians out of much power. What if someone grew up in North Korea and never heard? What about him? When I was growing up, people would say, well, what about in Africa? People never heard. Well, this story helps answer that question. Here is an African, and we will, the pictures here are not the actual people, but they're, a lot of them are Ethiopians, and they're representative of the people that were here in the story. Gobazi was a man born in 1955, approximately. They don't keep close track of time back then. And Gobazi had never seen a book, let alone a Bible. Never seen a TV, telephone, nothing of what we call civilization. Just grew up in a grass hut, never seen a white person, didn't even know they existed in the world. Just, he was in the furthest corner of Africa that you can imagine. And what about him? Gobazi had a dream one day about a person walking by his house with a message of how people could live forever. When he got to thinking about that dream, he said, wow, could that be true? If there is such a thing, I would really like to know how to live forever. So he began watching. He's a crippled guy. He began watching that path as often as he could. You know, he had daily responsibilities. But he began to watch that path as much as he could to see if that dream would ever come true. Well, soon after that dream, his son Kabuddi became awfully sick. He was a grown son, adult, became sick. And going to the witch doctor, everything you could think of, just got worse, worse, and worse. Well, there was a trader traveling in that area who said, there are some white people 2 weeks' walk from our house that have special medicine that have helped a lot of people get better. If you could get your son there, they might be able to help him. We worked out with a trader, made a deal, and that trader took his son with him. And Gobazi never saw him again. Well, Kabuddi did make it to the hospital, and he was admitted to the hospital, but he is so far gone that they couldn't do anything for him to heal him. Well, it just so happened. There'll be a lot of so happened in this story, but you understand the real one who's in control of all the so happened things that happen in our world today. Just so happened that Joy Ritterhoff had come from Canada, and she had conceived this idea of how she could help get the gospel to more people in the world in their own mother tongue. She had invented this little system back in the 60s where, say, I know English and Stephanie knows Spanish and English and Johnny only knows Spanish. Well, I can't talk to Johnny, but Stephanie can. And so I tell Stephanie, could you tell Johnny to say God made the world in his language? So she does that. And then when Johnny talks, I have my recorder. I record that phrase. Okay, now Stephanie, ask Johnny to say in his language that God loves everyone in the world. Okay, record that phrase. Got the idea? Phrase by phrase, that was her system to get the simple gospel message in as many languages as possible. Well, it just so happened that she was in Ethiopia that is full of a lot of different languages. And it just so happened that she was at Sodu, where my mom worked in the hospital, dad worked at the school, when Kabuddi was admitted there to the hospital. And a worker in the hospital said, there's this man, Here in the hospital, it speaks the language, but no one knows what the language is. He says, well, if we can find someone that can interpret for us, I want to get his language, the gospel recorded in his language also. Couldn't find anyone. Well, it just so happened, same time, there is another trader further south of Sodu that got this horrible toothache. The toothache was so bad, he couldn't sleep, couldn't do any business. So people told him, go up to that place, Sodu. There's these white people with this special medicine. He went up there. The toothache was so bad, they had admit him to do surgery. It just so happened that they put him in the bed next to Kabuddi. And a worker in the hospital saw them talking with each other. He said, oh, do you know his language? He said, yeah, I learned it pretty well from traveling in that other part of Ethiopia. They went and called Joy Ritterhoff, and she came back and set up her little system there for recording. And step by step, like I described, she recorded Kabuddi explaining the gospel phrase by phrase in his language. Well, Joy, the recording was made on an old-style record. And shortly after recording was made, Kabuddi died. No one knew what to do with him. No one knew his language. They didn't know where he'd come from. They buried him in the hospital. My mom, when we left in 71, said his grave was still there by the hospital there. Okay, and then, well, soon after that, cassette tapes were invented. They've already gone out of style, haven't they? But back then, that was a new thing, new technology, cassette tapes. And so someone found this old recording, and they're in the hospital, and they sent it to L.A. because in Los Angeles, they had a mechanism where they could transpose or translate the record onto cassette tape. It was done, sent back to Ethiopia, put in storage in the hospital. And the label on the cassette tape said, Gospel in Unknown Language. Goes into storage. Laid in storage for many years. And then a bunch of years later, Dick McClellan, who is a missionary that worked with my parents, I went to school with his kids there in Ethiopia. He worked at Sodu for a while. He was back in Australia. He got this strong burden. I really would like to do more things to help people in these unreached parts of Ethiopia that have never heard. I'd really like to do anything I could to get the gospel out there. So he came back to Ethiopia, went back to Sodu, getting together supplies, mules and other people to go with him to go out on this long trek to unreached parts of Ethiopia. In the process of getting things together, someone came up with this cassette tape because he was taking a lot of cassette tapes in different languages with these hand crank players that you don't need electricity, but just crank them up and you can listen to the gospel in different languages. Someone said, why don't you take this tape along in case you find someone that speaks that language? Well, Dick went out, and Ethiopia is just filled with a maze of trails, little farms everywhere. He got lost. Someone gave him wrong directions. And he ends up on this trail with a man screaming up ahead of him. He's this crippled man screaming on the trail ahead of him. And through translation, he asks, what's he screaming about? He said, well, he's asking, do you have a message of how people can live forever? He got thinking, well, yeah, that's a way to define what I'm here for. And so he found out in the process of listening to tapes, this crippled man named Gwabuzi talks the same language on this tape that says unknown language. So he left it with him and said, I'll leave it here. I need to go to these other places, and then I'm going to come back and try to find you and see what you think of this message on the tape. When Dick came back, Gwabuzi had a lot of questions, but he's so excited. He said, this is a message I've waited forever. He's just so eager to invite Jesus in his heart. As they talked, he said, I have another question. How is it that I hear the voice of my son, Kabuddi, that I've never seen for many years, and he's giving me this message on this tape? Dick thought, well, it's probably just, you hear a message on a tape, your voice sounds familiar. It's hard to identify a voice. But it intrigued his mind, so when he went back to Sodu, started talking to missionaries to find out the background of this tape of gospel in an unknown language. And that's how I found out all this information I just told you about now in the story. So just quickly review this story with me of what happened. What did God do to help this one man who'd never heard about Jesus, never seen a Bible, but he had a dream? And what all did God do? His son Kabuddy became sick. Is that a loving God at work? When your child gets sick and you never see him again? Kabuddy sent to hospital. Joy Ritterhoff was from Canada at the same time. Imagine all the people that were involved in getting her there. Finances, prayer, organization to get her there. People we didn't even know about. And then Kabuddy being there and another trader that had a horrible toothache at the same time. And that trader ends up in the bed next to Kabuddy in about 100-bed hospital. And then the gospel recording was made with Kabuddy's voice. Recording was sent all the way to the U.S. to be put on cassette tape, then put in storage for many years. When anything gets put in storage in my house, usually that's the end of it. It never gets used again. And then Dick McClellan on the other side of the world in Australia, he gets this burden in his heart to come back and do something. And the people happened to find the cassette tape at the same time when Dick was putting all this stuff together. Says, hey, take this with you. And Dick gets lost on the trail out there in this myriad of trails. And there's Gobuzzi. He didn't miss him by being in the bathroom or eating or something like that. He happened to be beside the trail when Dick was coming beside the trail. None of those events are what you would say are miracles in themselves. Sadness, pain, confusion, work. But you put them all together, for me, it's top category miracle. I mean, it's just God's sovereignty. I can't explain it. How can this happen? It's beyond explanation. And it's just another picture of the amazing God. And he's at work in each of our lives, putting all these details together, and we don't even know what's going on. Because maybe in heaven, we're going to hear a lot of stories like this, I'm convinced. You go, really? And it's just mind-blowing. So all this happened with Gobuzzi, a crippled nobody in Africa, because God so loved the world. Really, you could say God so loved every person in the world, even Gobuzzi. He loved him so much that he moved people from around the planet, orchestrated all these events so Gobuzzi could be his child. Gobuzzi was a nobody who was immensely loved by God, and the same is true of every person you'll meet today. Every person you and I meet in our neighborhoods, you see your neighbor walk out, that person is just as valuable as Gobuzzi in God's sight. And it's true for every person in the whole globe, all 7.3 billion of those people. How can he be that concerned for 7.3 billion? I can't explain. That's the kind of God that that created the world and has taken care of us. So now let's go back to the broad perspective again. Got a world map up here, and there's a circle on this map. There are more unreached people who God loves, remember. There are more unreached people inside the circle than the rest of the world combined. There are more lost people in this circle than the rest of the world combined. But also, these countries have some of the lowest statistics of how many Christians are in that country. More unreached people that never even heard are in the circle. Well, back in 1983, I understood this, and I was helping lead a campus church at the University of Illinois, and that burden just started growing in my heart, even though I grew up in Africa. That's a lot of people over there, and they've never heard. And I started praying almost every day since 1983, and I still do it now. God, please use me any way you can to help reach those people. And I didn't know how that would happen. I was leading campus ministry at University of Illinois. And I won't go into details, but God led to be involved with international students, and some of those were Filipinos who wanted to come to Christ. Then in 1990, it was suggested that our family move to the Philippines to help some of these Philippine students start a church over there and working with Campus Crusade. We moved over there, and
it's exciting because I realize that red dot of the Philippines is inside that circle, just inside the edge of where most of the world's lost people are. So this is our family here that we moved in 1990. And all of our plans did not work out. Essentially, none of our plans worked out. It's a big disappointment. We were only there for a year, had to come back. That was back in the Antioch Project days, John would remember, and some of you others. The Gehrings were sent out, and we were sent out. Gehrings is still there in Germany, and here we are. But God has so many ways of doing things. He's so creative. And let's see. One of the Bible studies that was I'd ended up starting near our house was taken over by a Filipino brother who ended up starting a church. And I think there's a picture up here of that first little family. That's another story in itself of how God saved that lady there. I just couldn't believe that God, because she is an adulteress for most of her life, could never be worthy of heaven. And she just had tears in her eyes every time we'd explain the gospel. And yeah, but it's a good tangent. But Zaldi started a church there and a lot of ups and downs. Then from 2004 to 2010, Herschel Martindale asked if he could join in my trips over there. I'd only been going over there once a year. Then he said, I'd like to go over there 3 or 4 times a year, and that's going to be my primary focus. I go, wow, what happened? And so I tried to keep up with Herschel in 2010. He said, this is the last I can go. And he hasn't gone since 2010. But during his last trip, the Philippine pastors that we're working with came up with the idea of forming this organization of churches and calling themselves the Great Commission Churches of the Philippines. Wow, that's cool. We'll do anything we can to work with you. And so since then, today, there's a group of 17 churches and 15 pastors. They're small churches, poor people, can't even support their own pastors full time, but they have developed a vision of how God can use them to reach these unreached people in Asia. There's in all kinds of countries there, in Southeast Asia, over to India, Pakistan, a lot of the Arab countries there. Because there's a lot of advantages that Filipinos have. They're Asians, similar culture, similar lifestyle, economic status, very similar, that make it easy for them to fit in and difficult for us to fit in and move over to those countries. But they don't have the means to do it. Say, hey, partnership. And that's what I've been focusing on a lot, to develop that partnership and to enable missionaries to get into these unreached parts of Asia. And so right now, there is a team in Cambodia that just moved there at the beginning of December. They've just been there in 1 month, 2 families, the Leyes family with 2 little kids, and the Ramirez family that just got married. And there's some big things that have come up since then, but we'll take them a step at a time. I just wanted to say, though, that this work that God has me of facilitating this kind of partnership, because I spend time in this country, I spend time in the Philippines, and last year spending time in Cambodia with Cambodian Christians, networking God's people together in order to get missionaries over there to get the message out to these unreached places. And what you've just heard me talk about today is what I do at other churches at different times. I'm going to be gone some Sundays during the year, and I'll be giving a similar talk to what you just heard today. And the pastors were saying, well, Mike, if you're going to be gone a bunch, we haven't heard this message either. Why don't you share with us what you're telling about all these other churches? That's why I'm giving you this message today, because this is a huge part of my work. In fact, it's my number one focus of ministry, where most of my support goes to help me be a facilitator, to build this international partnership, to see the unreached people reached. And I'm so thankful that Cornerstone is a part of that and has some support. But really, that's my main work, and my pastoring work here in Cornerstone makes me a bivocational pastor, like Blaine and Johnny there. But I'm excited how God has worked it out. So anyway, it's been exciting. It's exciting to see how God worked to reach Guabuzi using his international body of Christ. It's exciting to see what God is doing in the Philippines and now Cambodia to bring people to himself. And here you and I have opportunity to be involved
as much as we want. That happens at Mission Southside. That's part of it. We won't go into details there, but he's bringing people here, and we can partner with God to be involved in his sovereign work to bring every person to himself if they want. And so if you want to get involved, you can become a prayer partner. Some of you already are praying for the East Asia ministry. And I'm the one that sends out the prayer requests. So it's primarily the Philippines, but sometimes there's other things happening that Doug Brown, Ching Yu, and others are doing in East Asia. You can sign back. There's a little display board back there with more pictures and a clipboard there. Sign your name up, and you'll receive prayer requests once a month, email prayer requests for the Philippine churches and some of the other East Asia churches. Financial partner, some of you are already financial partners with the Cambodia team there. God has supplied, but there's also some big things that came up. Francis was diagnosed with diabetes after he got there, and Marilu found out she is pregnant the day before Christmas, and her pregnancy is extremely difficult where she's in bed and throwing up all day and might have to end up in the hospital a bunch. So that's kind of a scary thing. New first child, foreign country, hasn't even learned the language yet, and throwing up all day and can hardly get out of bed. It's like, Lord, we worked so hard to get them there, and you allow diabetes and a complicated, horrible, not horrible, but difficult pregnancy. But that's why I want you to pray. The Lord loves doing things the hard way, is what I would say. And I can look back and I tell you all these awesome stories. You go, wow. You go, now, oh no, I just groaned. It's not fun living in the present. It's fun telling stories about the past. It's not fun living in the present. But that's where we are. And you guys know that it's not easy either. But that's why we keep reminding each other, but look who's in charge. I need to hear that every day. That's why I need to spend time in this book, because my emotions just get carried away and I get discouraged so quick. I need to keep reading, believing. You really are in control? You really have a plan here? And that's why we come Sunday mornings. We need to keep reminding each other of who's in charge. He's loving and he's always working to build us up and to bring people to himself. What a privilege. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are really little kids compared to you. We hardly know what's going on. We feel like one-day-old babies in your hands. We're at your mercy. And it's so amazing that you have made it possible for us to be your children. Even though we've rebelled against you, we've disobeyed you, we've hurt other people, we've hurt you, and you still have made it possible for us to be your children. And you use weak, imperfect people like us, like these stories that we heard, for Gwabazi to be your child. You use all kind of weak people and suffering and confusion to do an amazing thing. Help us remember that's the way you're always working with our neighbors, with every person we meet. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your love will never change. Help us remember that, Lord. Because we want not only to know you, we want to be involved with you. This kind of love, this kind of sovereignty, this kind of power thrills our hearts, brings joy, thankfulness, and excitement. Help us grow in how we can participate with you in your amazing work of love. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.